All right, Rabbi, say good morning. And let's begin our share this morning. Is dedicated by Gedaliah and Nara Rosenblum in memory of Gedaliah's father, Moshe Herschel ben Chaim ben Zion. And of course, by our Talmud Torah sponsors in the month of Kislev, Josh and Becker Friedman, Le'ilu Nishmas, Josh's father, Yisrael Yehudi ben Avchaim Rafael, Sammy Malka, Esther, and Le'ilu Nishmas, their parents, Yitzchok Le'i ben Aaron Cohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch, and Hindabas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the families in the Chama. And with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Samech Aleph 61. We are picking up on the bottom of Samech Amud Beis at the two dots, five lines up from the bottom. So remember again, the Mishnah said, Vitolos Zubazu. So remember again, in this particular Mishnah, you have three women sleeping in the same bed. So the Mishnah ended off by saying that Halacha Lamaisa Tolos Zu Bazu. They can go ahead and literally attribute the stain to one another. Says the Gemara, what's the case? Tana Rabbana Kitsa Tolos Zu Bazu. What's the case of where they could go ahead and attribute the stain to one another? So Ubra Vishaina Ubra. So let's say again, the Gemara illustrates this with two cases. Let's say one of the women is pregnant, one of the women is not pregnant. Tona Uptola Ubra Bishain Obra. So ultimately, again, the pregnant woman will attribute the stain ultimately again to the woman who's not pregnant. Right? So the woman who's not pregnant. Meinika Bishain Amika. Similarly, again, if one woman is nursing, one of the women is not nursing. Tola Melika Bitmelika. Tola Meinika Bishain Amika. So ultimately, again, the nursing woman will attribute the stain ultimately again to the non-nursing woman. Zekina v'she'ina zekina. If you have an older woman, again, which Bepashtos applies to a postmenopausal woman and a woman who is still menstruating, tola zekina v'she'ina zekina. Good. Besula v'she'ina besula. So in this context, besula doesn't mean like we classically think about. Besula means a woman who has never bled yet. Right, she's a basula from Dumin. So ultimately, again, basula v'she'ina basula. Tola basula v'she'ina basula. Supposed to say the idea, very simply being, again, illustrating this with two cases. One of the women has a chazaka that she bleeds, the other does not. So the woman ultimately, again, who does not normally bleed, could attribute the stain ultimately to the woman who does. What about shtehen zekinos? Shtehen basulos? What happens if both of the women are zekinos? Both of the women are besulos. Zohi sheshanino lohayo ru'uyos liros. Rowin ki'ilu tap of samech aleph. Rowin ki'ilu ria. So we'll say, obviously, in that case, even if both women are zekinos, both women are menikos. So we'll say, see, here's what I know. What do I know? That ultimately there's blood, right? And that the blood came from someone. So even though in this particular situation, there's no one in particular to go ahead and attribute it to. And again, both of them have the personal status of not bleeding. But because we know that blood came from somewhere, ultimately, again, we treat them both as ru'uyos. Good. Says the Mishnah. Mishnah will say, top of Samech Aleph Amud Aleph. Shalosh Narshim Sheyu Shanis B'mita Acha. So we'll say, again, similar. Well, it sounds like the same case. We'll see how it's differentiated in the Gemara. Three women sleeping in the same bed. If blood is found under the middle woman, kulan tneos. Everyone is tame. Everyone is tame. And I will say, again, the logic being that people move around in a bed. So if it's underneath the middle woman, the pashtus that could have come from anyone. Therefore, they're all tameos. Tachas ha-pnimis. What happens if it's underneath the innermost woman? So it says, Rashi points out over here, so the assumption over here is that the bed is up against the wall. So the penimis means the woman against the wall. So let's say you find it by the woman against the wall. So shtayim ha-penimios tmeos. So we'll say the two innermost women are tmeos. Two innermost women being who? Center woman, and we'll call it wall woman. Right? So ultimately, again, the one next to the wall, the one next to her, the one in the center, they are both tmeos, because again, I'll say the assumption is that what? That halacha l'maisa, people move around. So because, again, they move around, it's attributable to one of those two. Next, v'achitzona tahora. But in that case, of course, the chitzona, the outermost woman, will be tahora. Tachas hachitzona. What happens if the blood is found underneath the outermost woman? So we'll say, so remember again, this refers to the woman furthest from the wall. Shtayim hachitzonos tmeos. V'apinim is tahora. In this case, Gemara said the two outermost women. So remember, who are the two outermost women? So that's the outermost woman, right? The woman farthest from the wall and the center woman. Both of them will be Tameos. That Panim is Torah, but the innermost woman, i.e. the woman next to the wall, she will be Tahora. So we'll say, so when is this true? Emosai. Bizman Sha'avru Derech Margolos Hamita. Shabbos said, this is assuming that this is the case when all the women get on the bed by climbing on from the foot of the bed. So when they all get on the bed from the foot of the bed, that's when these halachos apply. Avalim avru derech aliyah, Shabbos said, let's say they're all coming onto the bed from the side of the bed. Right? Then what? Kulan tmeos. Because Shabbos said, listen to this. If they're all coming up from the foot of the bed, and each of them laying down in their respective places, then halacha l'maisa, they will call it range of influence on the bed is going to be limited. But if they're each coming on the side of the bed, that means each of them come in contact with a larger part of the bed. And in that case, again, when blood is found, the possibility is that it came from any one of them, no matter where it's found. Therefore, they're all tomatoes. But ka'achas me'avinim says tahora, what happens if one of them did a badika? After finding the blood, one of them did a badika and found that she is not bleeding. He tahora ushtaim tameos. Ultimately, the one who did the badika, she will be tahora. The other two will be tameos. Bad kushtaim umatsu tahoros. What happens if two women did badikos and both of them were found to be tahoros? So what's the halacha? Hein tahoros ushlishis tameya. Then the two women who did the badikos will be tahorim, tahoros, and ultimately again the third one will be tmeya. Shlashtan umatso tahoros. Let's say all three women did a badika, and all three of them came out clean. Then what is the halacha? Kulan tmeos. Everyone is tameh. Which I'm about to say again, we saw this principle already before. The logic being, there's blood. There's blood, and that blood came from someone. So if the inability to go ahead and attribute it to anyone specifically ultimately causes it to become a suffix on all of them. Amad, Davardoma, to what can this be compared? Legal Tomei, Shinis Ariv, Bein Shnei, Galim Tohorim. So we'll say, this can be compared to as follows. If you can imagine if you have a pile of produce or a pile of something, it doesn't really matter what it is. And inside of that, and what's the concern? I know that in one of those piles, there was a kezias of a corpse. A kezias of a corpse mixed in with the pile. What happened? That pile got confused with two other piles. So now again, just to be clear, I knew for sure that one of the piles had a kezias of a mace in there. That wasn't a suffix. The issue that happened over here is that pile now got mixed up with two other piles. So what's the halacha? So, but ko achas menamatzu tar, hu tar ushtaim temeim. So, if I begin to check through the piles, I check pile number one. There's no kizayis of a mace in there. That pile is tahar. The other two are temeim. Shnai, so the Gemara says, shnaim temeim. Shnaim umatzu tar. And if I check through two piles and they don't find any corpse flesh, then tahorin heim, matzu tar, heim tarin ushlishi tamei. Then ultimately, again, the two piles will be tar. The third pile will be tamei. Shlashtan umatsu tahorin. What happens if I search through all three piles and ultimately, again, I can't find any flesh in it? Then what's talacha? Kulan tameim. Ultimately, again, all the piles will be considered tamei. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol davar shu b'cheskas tumah li'olam hu b'tumaso, ad shi'ivad lecha tumah heichan hu. Because Rabbi Meir's logic is like this. Once you know that an item is tame because of the presence of a davar ha-tumah, that status does not leave until when? Until you know definitively what happened with the tumah itself. So I'll say, for example, in this case over here, I know for sure that flesh from a corpse got mixed up with a pile of produce. That pile then got mixed up with other piles. I searched through all of the piles. They're all going to be tummy until I know what? Until I know exactly what happened with that source of tumma. On the flip side, the Chachamim Omrim, Bodek Adshe Magia L'Sela Olub Sula. The Chachamim say, listen, all you really need to do is what? Check the pile. Until you get down to the earth, the sala means to rock or to besula. We'll say karka besula means ground that was never overturned, right? Ground that was never plowed. So essentially, the rabbanan say, listen, search for it. If you can't find it, then what? It's not there. Now we'll see what the Chum essentially says. It's possible that an animal came along and took it, right? In other words, if you can't find it, it's not there. See, Rabbi Meir says, if you can't find it, you need to come up with an explanation as to what occurred. If you can't tell me exactly where it is, then everything has a presumed state of tumbah. The Rabbanan say, no, if I look for it, then it's not there. It just means it's not there. Well, the reason it's not there, it is irrelevant. Who cares why it's not there? Just lamaisa, it's not there. Says the Yom Rabbosi, let's analyze. Maishna reisha de la mafleg, o maishna seifa de ka mafleg. So we'll say, now listen to this. If you'll notice again, we have two now contrasting mishnayas. Right, the Mishnah that we just read previously, which was the last Mishnah on Amud Beis, also spoke about Shalosh Nashim Shayu Yishenas B'mita Achas V'nimtza Dam Tachas Achas Me'en Kulan Tmeos. Right, the last Mishnah said three men are sleeping in a bed, blood is found underneath one of them, they are all Tmeos. That's the last Mishnah said. What did this Mishnah say? This Mishnah started getting into the distinctions between under whom it was found. So asks the Gemara, why is it that the previous Mishnah did not make any distinctions like this in terms of the location of the stain versus our Mishnah, which does? So says the Gemara, Amrabi Ami b'mishulavos. Our Mishnah is different. Rabbis say, why? Look at Rashi. Amrabi Ami b'mishu b'shulavos. Tekufos u'devukos yachad. In our case, in the Mishnah, ultimately, again, it's when the women are sleeping all very close to each other. Literally, tikufos means one next to the other, divukos attached to one another. Hilchach afilu nimtza tachas hapnimis, ika l'sapuki nami b'chitzona. So we'll say, ultimately, again, I'm sorry, in the previous Mishnah, we're talking about over here where the women were sleeping very close to each other, right? And therefore, again, anywhere this thing is found, because they're sleeping so close to each other, therefore what? It's a constant suffix on all of them. Apparently, our Mishnah is not talking about that kind of case. Okay, bad ka'achos. So let's remember again, the Mishnah then went on to discuss what happens if one does a bediga, two do a bediga, three do a bediga. So the Gemara says, lama le lemisne lemaze doma. So let's remember again, the structure of the Mishnah was, the Mishnah gave the case of the three women, and then afterwards said, lemaze lemadavar doma, to the case of the piles, right, that ultimately, again, had a little bit of corpse mixed into it, and then went ahead and got mixed up with other piles. So the Gemara asks, why ultimately, again, do we need this additional case? Right? Lamalei lemisli lemaze doma. Why do you need that? To which the Gemara says, Halki kamar lehu, Reimer the Rabbanon. So this is what I remember saying to the Rabbanon. Maishna bedam de lo plagiso, u maishna begal de plagiso. So this is very interesting. Reimer was saying to the Rabbanon, why is it in the case of blood, right, you don't disagree, right? You must remember again, there's no machlokes in the cases of the Mishnah, right? In the cases of the Mishnah, the Maisa, again, if all of them did bedigos, if all of them did bedigos, and even if they all come out to horos, what's the halacha? Ultimately, again, they're all tmeos. Yet in the case of the three piles, there's a disagreement. So Rabbi Sabana, why is it that you don't disagree in the case of the dam, but yet in the case of the gal, the piles, you do disagree? But Rabbanan will say as follows, Bishlama hasam ema oreit natla. See, Rabbi Sabana, in the case of the piles, ultimately, again, with a little bit of corpse that got mixed in, there is a feasible explanation as to why there's nothing there. What's the feasible explanation? Right? What's the feasible explanation? A bird took it. Right? A bird took it. A rodent took it. There's a feasible explanation. Elahacha, hay dam mehecha asa. Well, say, here's the issue. Where did the blood come from? It must have come from one of the women. So it's granted, I understand that Lamai said they're all doing bedikos and they're all tohoros right now, but that blood came from someone. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Meir. Maise b'shikma shal kfar saba shahayu machzikin batuma. The Gemara tells a couple of interesting stories over here. There was a shikma, a sycamore tree, in kfar saba shahayu machzikin batuma. So we'll say now what that means is that there was a chazaka, ultimately again, that there was a corpse buried there. There was tuma there at some point in time. Ubat kuvalo matzu. They checked, and they didn't find any corpses there. The Yamin, listen to this. Nash baba ruach va'akarto. One time there was a very strong wind, and the wind blew and uprooted the tree. And when that occurred, v'nimtza gulgolos shalmeis tchuvalo be'ikaro. And they found skulls buried at the base of the tree. So Amrulo, they said to him, Misham Raya. So I'll say, so ultimately again, now remember again, they're saying this to Rabbi Meir, or Rabbi Meir is saying this. So you see from here that sometimes you could do a bedika, but yet not yield results. Two things are supposed to remember again, because what did the Rabbanan say in the Mishnah? The Rabbanan said in the Mishnah that Lamais, in the case of the three piles with the corpse mixed in, what do they say? Keep searching and searching and searching until you find something. And if you don't find anything, then what? Then Lamais. So Rabbi Meir is just saying, sometimes here you could do a search, but lav dafka, that the search is going to yield anything. To which the Gemara says, Amrulo misham raya. So they said to Rabbi Meir, that's your raya. So ima lo batku kol tzarcho. It must have been in that case what happened. They did not do a totally proper search, right? Who's to say that they actually searched properly over there? So the Gemara goes weiter. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maise b'mara shel shichin, shahu mechaskin batuma. There was another episode, ultimately again, by a cave in Sichin, where one time again they assumed that there were graves in this cave. And ultimately again they checked, right? They checked in the cave for graves, but they couldn't find anything, even to the point that they got to earth that was as smooth as a nail, which means they're supposed to say it was never overturned. In other words, so nothing was buried there. Velomatsu, and they still did not find any type of graves. The Yamim Nichnasu Ba Polim Ibn Agishamim. So one time there was a rainstorm, and the workers went into the cave for shelter. Benitsu Bekardimosehen, and they started picking apart things with their hatchets. Vumatsu Machtashes Malea Matsaasamos. And they found again literally a machtashes, like a crater or a literally means a mortar, filled with bones. So I'll say, see over here, this was even after they checked before, and yet they didn't find anything. Just because people check doesn't mean they do a good job checking. So we'll say ultimately again the Rabbanan attribute this to the fact that the people who performed the first check ultimately did not check sufficiently. It was only a subsequent check that was sufficient. Okay. So we'll say, so the Gemara goes weiter now. So Tanya, Abishal Omer, another similar idea. Abishal says as follows. There was once ultimately again an episode in Sela, literally the rock, the soil of Beis Choron, that they had a chazaka that there was tuma. It's actually a fascinating case. So there was a story of a field in Beis Choron. Sela means like a field. Now Sela means rocky field, a rocky field in Beis Choron, that they had a chazaka that there were graves there. There were graves there. But the area was too vast for anyone to check, so they didn't know how to identify the graves in this area. This is fascinating. So Vahayasham Zakin Echer Rabbi Yoshua and Chananya Shmo. There was an elder man there. His name was Rabbi Yoshua and Chananya. Amar Lahem, so also listen to this incredible idea. So he says, I have an idea. Amar Lahem, Hevilo Sadinin. Bring me sheets. Hevilo Sadinin. They brought him sheets. Usheran b'mayim, he soaked the sheets. Uparsan aleihem makom tar. And what did he do? He spread out the sheets over the entire area of Suffolk, so a very large area. What was the chap? So he says like this: makom tara yavesh, makom tuma lach. Any area that is dry is tahar. Any area that is moist is tameh. What's the logic? So I'll say like this: any time that the soil is virgin soil and has never been overturned, the soil will not absorb. Any time that the soil has been tilled in some way, the soil will absorb. So what happens? So therefore, the wet sheets are sitting on top of the soil. So I'd remove the sheets. If the soil is dry, then ultimately, again, that means that's a tar area. No one was ever buried here. If the soil is moist, that is indicative of the fact, well, again, I will say, under normal circumstances, that by itself does not have to be indicative, but the fact that they have a suffix in this situation over here tells us that Allah said that's where the graves were. What happens? Ubatku umatza bur gadol mali atzamos. And I will say, sure enough, in one of the wet areas they checked, and they found the mass grave. They found the pit that was filled with bones. So you must listen to this. Tana, hu abar shemile yishmal benesanya halalim. We'll say this was the pit that was filled with the corpses of people murdered by Yishmael ben Nesanya d'chsev, v'habor asher hishlech shem Yishmael eskal pigri anash masher hika biyad Gedalia. Supposed to remember again, Yishmael ben Nesanya was the person who assassinated Gedalia ben Achikam. So remember again, this after the destruction of the first base Hamikdash, Gedalia ben Achikam was the governor of the Jews who remained in Eretz Yisrael. He himself was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar, thank you, by Nebuchadnezzar. And remember again, he is assassinated by a man by the name of Yishmael ben Nesanya. Now, after Yishmael ben Nesanya goes ahead and assassinates Gedalia, he also goes ahead and kills a whole bunch of other people and tries ultimately to look like, make it look like that was Gedalia who ordered that. So the Gemara says, listen to this. That's what it says over Michi Gedalia Hargan. I don't understand. Did Gedalia murder these people? Follow Yishmael Hargan. It was Yishmael ben Nesanya who killed them. Ela mitoch shahayolo lachosh le'itzas Yochanan ben Karach velo chash. Ma'ala alav akasov kilu haragan. I'm both saying it's actually an incredible story. So listen to this. So first of all, it says the Gemara is bothered by the pasuk. The pasuk says that this is the pit that Yishmael ben Nesanya threw all of the corpses of the people who were killed by Gedalia. Did Gedalia kill them? No, Gedalia didn't kill them. It was Yishmael ben Nesanya who killed all of these people. But listen to this. Listen, we'll translate the words and then we'll analyze what it means. But because Gedalia should have listened to the advice of Yochanan ben Korach, and he did not do so, so ultimately, again, the Pasuk almost blames Gedalia for the death of these people. I will say, what does this mean? So remember, again, Yochanan ben Korach was the one who warned Gedalia that Yishmael ben Nesanya was coming to kill him. Gedalia did not want to accept Lashon Hara. He didn't want to accept Lashon Hara. And as we're going to see, Chazal fault Gedalia for not heeding the advice of this man, Yochanan ben Korach. Ultimately, again, and because Gedalia didn't listen, and because Gedalia was not vigilant, not only did he lose his own life, but ultimately, again, the lives of many others were lost as well. To the point that, again, the Pasuk puts liability ultimately on Gedalia ben Achikam. It's incredible. So the Gemara says a very important lesson comes out from this. Amar Rava, Hai Lishna Bisha. Different was when a person hears Lashon Hara, Afa Pi Dele Kabuli Lomi Boy. So ultimately, again, the Gemara says, ultimately, again, even though you're not allowed to be Mekabel Lashon Hara, right? You can't accept it as truth. Nevertheless, Mechosh Le Mi Boy. I will say sometimes, it's actually quite interesting, sometimes as much as you can't be mekabalit, sometimes you just have to be a bit vigilant about it. So if someone gives you information, so you can't be mekabalit as truth, but at the same time, if it's information that ultimately, again, potentially poses some type of danger, ultimately you can't be fully dismissive of it as well. So Gemara gives examples of this. Hano b'nei Galila, d'nafek alei kala d'katol nafsha. So Rabbi said there were these people, these Jews from the Galilee, and kind of rumors were circulated about them that they killed someone. So we'll say, so now they killed someone and they're wanted by the authorities for killing someone. So what happened? The Gemara says, Asal Kamid Rabbi Tarfon. So they came to before Rabbi Tarfon, Amrulay, Limitrin Anmar. So they came to Rabbi Tarfon and said, Rabbi, hide us. They wanted Rabbi Tarfon to hide them from the authorities. Amrulahu, Hechi Navis. Rabbi Tarfon said, what should I do? Ilo amtirinchu chazu yasaychu. So I'll say, if I, so Rabbi Tarfon says, if I don't hide you, the authorities will find you and kill you. Samtraychu, but if I hide you, ha'am rabbanon, hai lishna bisha, afa gavdel kabuli lo mi boy, mechosh le mi boy. Rabbi Tarfon says, at the same time, I have to be choshish that what? Maybe you did kill someone, right? Meaning, as much as I can't be mekabel, ultimately, again, Lashon Hara, I also have to be vigilant. And so to hide you when you might be murderers, ultimately, again, maybe going ahead and putting myself in some type of danger. So what does Rabbi Tarfon say to them? Zil asu tamar nafshaychu. So we'll say, literally translated, what it sounds like is Rabbi Tarfon says, go hide yourselves. You know, the truth is, the Marashon always point out that Rabbi Tarfon was saying, I'll tell you where to hide, but I'm not going to go ahead and oversee the arrangements for your hiding. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says there's something very amazing. There's mechosh le mi boy, v'shema haragtem, v'asra lahatzil eschem. So we'll say, what Rashi says over here is as follows. Rabbi Tarfon's concern was not about putting himself in mortal danger. Rabbi Tarfon was saying, if you guys killed someone and you're wanted by the government ultimately for killing someone, I have no right to shield you from the law. Meaning the law of Dina de Malchus Adina, the law of the land is the land. And Rabbi Tarfon says, if you really committed a capital crime, if you really did this, then I have no right to shield you from the government. If you look at Tosis, Tosis says over here something very interesting. Amtrinchu hamra abaran haylish nabisha perish v'kontros v'shem harak dem v'asu la'atzilchem. So we'll say, so Rashi's idea is that Rabbi Tarfon is saying is, if you really are murderers, I have no right to shield you from the long arm of the law. Right, then ultimately, again, you deserve what it is that is coming to you. So we'll say, so again, Kurtosis expounds this. He says that ultimately it could be that I'm going to get in trouble with the government. We'll say, so this is really fascinating because it seems to me Rabbi Tarfon is not concerned that maybe you guys are murderers and you're going to kill me. Rabbi Tarfon is concerned that maybe you are murderers and in which case I'd be aiding and abetting criminals. Which we'll say, if we don't have time to get into this topic, we'll say, but this is very important because sometimes people fundamentally misunderstand the concept of Mesira, right? We sometimes that word is used very loosely, that whenever ultimately, again, you involve the authorities with matter concerning Jews, that's called Mesira. That's not called Mesira. If someone breaks the law, some appendages of law enforcement get involved, that's not being Moser a Jew, Chas v'Shalom. Now again, there are technical issues, there are locus. I'm just pointing out over here. You see that Rabbi Tarfon himself is concerned, according to, and Rashi is more explicit, if you broke the law, I'm not going to shield you. If you broke the law, ultimately, again, then what the government wants to do to you, you deserve. So just a fascinating, again, Said, you'll put it on the list, maybe on the bus to death to the CMS Shas of a couple hours. We'll go through some of these sugyas. But again, it's quite an incredible idea. And amen. Gemara goes right there. So we'll say, so first of all, this concept also seems to be a very amorphous one, which is this concept that I can't be mekabel lashon hara, but yet what? I have to be somewhat attentive to it. I say I can't be mekabel. That's what I say. Mekabel means I don't accept it as truth. I don't accept it as truth, but I must be vigilant regarding this piece of information. I both say, lest you think that ultimately, again, this is just like a nice concept. You see that the pasuk literally holds Gedaliah ben Achikam liable for the murder of innocent people because someone gave him a piece of information and he failed to even heed it in some way. You don't want to believe that Yishmael ben Asanya is a murderer, that's fine. But when someone tells you that someone is coming to kill you, you do have to take it into account. You do have to be vigilant with that piece of information. Then where it goes Vaitra, some other examples of this. So remember again, Akash Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, do not be afraid. Ultimately, again, this is talking about Og, right? Do not be afraid ultimately when you go to fight against Og. So the Gemara says, Michti, Sichon va'og, Achi Havu, Sichon and Og were brothers. Da'amar, Sichon va'og b'nei Achia bar Sham Chazai Havu. So it's very interesting. When Moshe Rabbeinu goes to war against Sichon, it doesn't appear that Moshe Rabbeinu had any specific type of fear. Yet when he goes to war against Og, he does have fear. To the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell him, Al Tira. It will say, meaning when God, does Pasuk never says that Moshe Rabbeinu has fear, but the fact that what? The fact that the Pasuk says, that God says to Moshe, Al Tira, don't be afraid, indicates to us what? That Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Mitshuvaso shel osa tzadik avtiodea mahaya balibo. So we'll say from the fact, from the tshuva, from the response, right, of the tzadik, right, ultimately, again, we see what was in his heart. So we'll say what Rashi points out, from the response that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give to the tzadik, the fact that God had to tell Moshe Al Tira, don't be afraid, tells us that he was afraid. So I'll say, what was wrong? Amar Shema Tamo Lo Zechos Shal Avram Avinu. Maybe the Zechos of Avram ultimately again will sustain. Oh, what was the schos? Shenem Ravayavo Apol Vayagil Avram Ivri. The survivor came and told Avram Ivri. You're supposed to remember again. This is a reference to the war of the four kings against the five, where Og came and told Avram that Lot was taken captive. This sparked Avram Avinu's involvement in that war. Avram Yochanan, Ze Og Shepalat Midor Hamabul. This was Og ultimately again who went ahead and was survived from the Dor HaMabul. So we'll say, the idea being over here that ultimately again, because Og came and gave Avram Avinu this information, therefore what? Therefore again, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that maybe this Zuchus will ultimately allow Og to repel Klal Yisrael. Good. Tan Rabbanon, Beged She'avad Bo Kesem, Ma'avir Alav Shiva Samanum Umvatlam. So we'll say, if you have a Beged, it's actually an interesting case. If you have a Beged, a garment, and a kesem was lost. What does that mean? So I have a beged. The beged has a kesem. But then something happens that let's say, for example, the beged falls into water, right? And therefore, again, the water obliterates the kesem. Or the beged falls into a pool of animal blood. So now what happens? So now, again, the garment is caked in blood, but lamais, again, animal blood is not a problem. So I don't know where the kesem is on the garment, right? And I will say, we will see ultimately, again, we haven't gotten to this yet, but we'll see in the next Mishnah, next Mishnah, bottom of all the days, that ultimately, again, a kesem can only be removed from the garment if it goes through a cleaning process with seven different items. Now my problem is, I don't know where the kesem is. So what do I do? So what do? You just wash the garment anyway with these seven herbs, which we'll discuss in tomorrow's daf. Umevatlo. And ultimately, again, this goes ahead and is mevatl the kesem. Rabbi Shimon Allah says, what do you do? Amud Beis, botko shchunos. You go ahead and you check the garment neighborhood by neighborhood. Well, again, we'll see what that means in just... Oh, it did look at Rashi. He says, kol shalosh shalosh etzbos levad. You check the garments in three finger breadth pieces. So essentially what you do is you meticulously examine the garment three finger breaths at a time and you will find the kesem. Avdu bo shechva zera. So let's say you have a beged. Ultimately, again, on which there is shechva zera. And now what happens? I don't know where the shechva zera is. So what happens? It depends on the beged. Chadash, if it's a new beged, botko b'machat. Then you could check it with a needle. Both say, look at Rashi, b'machat, mako mazera kasha, v'amechat mis'akev likanispa. So we'll say in general again, so the place where the zera is, that part of the garment becomes hardened, and therefore again, the needle can't get through it. As opposed to the parts that are not affected by shechva zera, so the needle ultimately will go through. Shachok, what happens if it's an older garment? So let's say if it's an older garment, this process ultimately won't work. So what do you do? So Rashi says over here, Shachok, botko bechama. So if it's, then you check it against the sun, right? And if you check it against, the idea being that the area where the shechva zera is, the sun does not come through the garment in the same way. Tana, ein shchuna pchusa mishalosh esbos. By the way, the neighborhood that we're speaking about, right, it was the neighborhood ultimately again is three finger breadths. So when we said before that you check the beged, shchunos, it means that you check it at pieces of three finger breadths each. Next, ten rabbanon, beged sha'avad bo kilayim. It was another interesting case. Let's say you have a garment and you lost kilayim in it. And you'll say to yourself, how do you lose kilayim in a beged? This is actually very interesting. The Rashi, sha'avad bo kilayim, shim hayo makir chut hatzemer bebeged apishdan. No skovakash. Listen, it's very simple. So what do I have? I have a linen garment, and I know that there was a thread of wool that was mixed into that garment. So we'll say on a very simple level, if you can identify the thread, what do you do? Pull it out. Right? In Gamarnu, we're good. The issue over here is that thread got lost in the garment. So I now don't know where the thread is. So what do I do with this garment? So the Braisa says, so you can't sell it to a Gentile. And we'll say, out of a concern that what's going to happen, the Gentile may then subsequently what? Sell it to a Jew, and it's shatnis. Nor can you go ahead and make it into a saddle blanket, right? A saddle blanket for your donkey. So we'll say out of the now. What's the concern over there? So we'll go ahead and we'll see this later on. But the concern with the Mardas is that sometimes people would take a patch of their saddle blankets to patch up their clothing. So the concern over here is that if this has shatnez mixed in, you may come to use this as a patch for your clothing, and that's problematic. Aval this is incredible. Aval osimimenu tachrichin lemeis. We'll say what can you use it for? Burial shrouds. You can make tachrichin out of it. So the Gemara will say, really? Amrav Yosi, this is incredible. Zosomeres mitzvos betelos liasid lavo. This means that what? That apparently there's no mitzvos liasid lavo. Now what is this saying? This is not talking about when you're dead. Obviously when you're dead there's no mitzvos. Liasid lavo means what? In the Messianic era, when there is tchias hameisim. We'll say when there's tchias hameisim, what are you dressed in? You're dressed in your tachrichin. So we'll say, Sidi Gemara says something absolutely amazing, which is that lemaisa, you're telling me now that you could bury a corpse in tachrichin that have shatnez. Well, Mashiach is going to come. There's going to be a tchias resurrection of that tchias hameisim, which means what? That when I wake up, I'm going to be wearing shatnez. I'm going to be wearing shatnez. So we'll say, this must mean that what? That there's no mitzvos in the Messianic era. Amar the Abaye, v'itim Rav Dimi, v'am Rav Mani, am Rav Yanai, lo shanu ela l'sapto, aval l'kovro asr. No. We'll say, when did we say that you can use tachrichim with shatnez, ultimately again for a corpse? Those are the tachrichim during hespeid, during the levaya. When it comes actually time to bury the corpse, you cannot use shatnez tachrichim. Amrale lavit marlam Rabbi Yochanan afil lekavro. Not true. Rabbi Yochanan said that you can even go ahead and use shatnez, even shatnez begadim, ultimately again to go ahead and bury him. So I'll say Rabbi Yochanan tell me that Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, my dichsev b'meisim chavshi. Rabbi Yochanan said, what is the meaning of the pasuk in Tehillim when it says, literally again, b'meisim chavshi, the dead are free, kevan shemeis adam, naase chavshi min emetzus. Because what is the teaching? As soon as a person dies, they become free from mitzvos. So what's Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, therefore, that halacha lemaisa, we need not be concerned with any halachic considerations. Ultimately, again, when burying the dead. In other words, that if you want to bury someone in shatnez tachrichim, ultimately, again, that is totally fine. That is sort of, what's going to happen by tchias hameisim? So apparently Rabbi Yochanan doesn't address that, right? All Rabbi Yochanan addresses really is that when you're dead, there's no chiyuv in mitzvahs. Therefore, you can be buried in shatnez. What does he do with tchias hameisim? Doesn't seem to be clear. So we'll say, we don't do this today, meaning we bury just in regular linen shrouds, linen tachrichim, not shatnez. But I'll tell you where this does come up. So we'll say this does come up is that ultimately often a mace is buried in his talis, right? What do we do with the talis before the mace? We saw this in Moed Kain. What do you do with the talis? You cut off the corner, right? So we'll say, there's a whole discussion over here regarding burying a mace in his talis if he didn't observe the mitzvah of tzitzis, if he did observe the mitzvah of tzitzis, do we passel the tzitzis, the mace is passel. So there's a whole discussion. So essentially, what we do over here is, because there would be a concern ultimately, again, with burying a mace in a four-cornered garment, ultimately, again, it doesn't have tzitzis, we cut off one of the karmit, one of the corners. Right? So what this does is, this shows that the mace is chafshi min ha-mitzvus, he has no obligations, but at the same time, we don't bury him in a four-cornered garment that doesn't have tzitzis. Okay, so it does come up. Again, what's going to happen with tchias ha-meisim? Emir Tzashem, we will find out Bekarev. I'm sorry?
He's going to rot him by then.
He's going to... No. So you have to understand. So whenever we bury someone, the assumption is that tchias hameisim is going to occur very soon. Right? That's the amunah that we always bury with. So, all right. So, see, it's saying, what does it matter? Everything decomposes. No. Tchias hameisim is going to happen today. Emir Tzashem. Says, I'm a Rafram Bar Papa, I'm Rav Chista. So I'll say, same idea. And this really is a fascinating case where I have a beggar that has shatnez in it, but the shatnez gets lost. So what's the halacha? Sova umotar. This is incredible. Here's a fascinating idea. Dye the beggar. So apparently Rabbi said dye doesn't take as well to linen as it does to wool. So ultimately, again, the wool, meaning you'll be able to tell which is wool and which is linen. And therefore, by definition, what you could do is you could just pull out, we'll call it the alien thread. Amalei Rava l'Rafam Bar Papa. So Rava said to Rafam Bar Papa, Minalei l'Sabaha, from where do you know this? Amalei Masnisini. He said, the truth is, this is a Mishnah, this nun, Bodik Achemagia Lisela. Ultimately, I was remember again, this was the pile that has some of the corpse mixed in. So what do? You check the pile until you get to the earth. V'ileka, and if you can't find anything there, Ema Orev Natla, must be that a raven went ahead and took the flesh. Hachinami, so too we see over here. Imra v'kisna b'hadadi lo salik lehu tziva. V'chevan de lo yidia, Ema Minsar Nasa. So that's actually quite fascinating. Here's what we know. We know that dye does not take to wool and to linen in the same way. So therefore, there should be a discernible difference. And if there is no discernible difference, we'll say, then what does that mean? What does that mean? That the illegal thread was removed. That's what it means. Meaning, so if the dye takes equally to the entire baguette, that is indicative that it must be that the illegal thread was in fact removed. Incredible. Amar Rav Acha Rei Rav Yeva Mishvei Dirmar Zutra. Haiman Derami Chuta Dekisna Beglima Deamra Vinaske Velo Yada Inasek Ilo Nasek. So we'll say what happened. So let's say someone went ahead and put a linen thread inside of a woolen garment. The Naske, he then pulled it out. But what happened? V'lo yada inasek ilo nasek shapir. Right? I'm sorry, v'ilo nasek. So I'll say, but he's not sure exactly. Was it fully pulled out? Was it not fully pulled out? So what's that halacha? Shapir dami. It's okay. Meaning midaraisa, shapir dami midaraisa. I'm sorry, shapir dami. Ultimately, in the beged is okay. My time, what's the reason? Midaraisa, my time, but midaraisa shatnes ksiv. They both say, in order for something to be shatnez as midaraisa, here's what has to happen. Ad sheishua tavei venuz. So both say, interestingly enough, the Gemara here suggests that shatnez is a contraction of three words, right? Shua tavei venuz, which means literally smoothed, spun, and woven. Which means they both say that for shatnez daraisa, a thread has to really be fully embedded in the garment. It has to be, again, smoothed, spun, and woven. So we'll say in a case like this over here, where you have a thread that is inserted, that is not fully integrated into the garment, saying, I'm not sure, did I take it out, did I not take it out? So lemaisa, again, midaraisa, that's not shatnez. Midaraisa, it's not shatnez. V'rabbanon hu degazrube, so we'll say, and it's the rabbanon ultimately, again, who goes there, on any type of garment like this. So we'll say essentially, what do I have over here? I have a suffix drabanon. I have a suffix drabanon. And because I have a suffix drabanon, ultimately, again, suffix drabanon is the kula. Therefore, if you're not sure, was it fully taken out or not, you can still wear the beggar. So we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up Emir Tashem with this fascinating shatnez discussion. Emir Tashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.